members of Congress have gone on the record warning President Trump not to even think about terminating Special Counsel Robert Mueller. The president cannot directly fire Mueller. A dismissal would have to come from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who has publicly expressed support for Mueller. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Bruce Gentleson is a public policy and political science professor at Duke University. He was the former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011. His forthcoming book is The Peacemakers: Leadership Lessons from 20th Century Statesmanship. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, we're seeing fresh reports this morning that Facebook last week suspended the Trump campaign's data consultant Cambridge Analytica for scraping the data of potentially millions of users without their consent. And now there's bipartisan calls on Capitol Hill yesterday demanding that Facebook explain how Cambridge Analytica obtained its data. Will Facebook get a new round of scrutiny on whether there was Russian manipulation of its site connected to the 2016 election?
Yeah, I think the whole attitude towards Facebook, which everybody thought of as kind of a fun, you know, addition to their lives, has really dramatically changed. It's not just Facebook. There are a bunch of other social media sites, but they've been really at the center of the storm. Their stock price took a hit yesterday. And the whole question of really two things. One is, are the assurances of privacy that they give to people when people put information on Facebook, are they living up to them? And secondly, you know, why weren't they more vigilant about who they were taking advertising from and giving information and access to, when it was pretty clear that a lot of these groups were Russian under fake names and others that there was reason to be suspicious about, you know, at the moment, not just after the fact.
But Facebook went under robust questioning, had a round of hearings in the fall. Would this type of revelation lead to more hearings and perhaps some from Mueller's investigation?
Yeah, and these are, right now it would be the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, so it's not being treated, say, as a foreign policy issue.
Okay.
And part of it is the new revelations that are coming out. These stories today about Cambridge Analytica, which was really created by Steve Bannon and a Republican billionaire known for financing a lot of extremist radical groups and causes named Robert Mercer. And then I believe it was a British television station caught one of the key executives there on tape boasting about not only the information or the so-called psychographic modeling, you know, but efforts to entrap different political candidates or other figures into bribery or seduction. So this is a whole new giant really tsunami of information that is causing another look at Facebook.
Let's go back to last week for just a moment to set up what happened over the weekend. On Friday, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe was fired hours before he was set to retire with full pension benefits. What do we know about how this all went down? Can you walk us through those developments?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kate, because we really don't know that much yet. When these investigations happen in government, there's an inspector general in every cabinet department, the Justice Department, State Department, Defense Department, and they had been investigating and making a report. Well, the report has yet to be released, but there was clearly this rush that's hard to attribute to anything other than you know, a personal vendetta to fire McCabe 2 days or 3 days before he would have been eligible for his full pension. And the information that's been released, it does appear that on certain instances he may not have been fully truthful with the investigators, but the kinds of issues were whether or not he was, you know, steering reporters to the right interpretation of different stories, not like leaking national security information or classified information. And in the large scope of things, given a lot of the other falsehoods that are being bandied about in politics today, even if this is true, frankly, it seems more like, you know, a small misdemeanor than a felony. And so this seemed to be very personal, aimed at him. He's kind of made some statements refuting it, but I think he's waiting on the advice of his lawyers, to more fully state his side of the story at the appropriate time.
And he's been on leave since January. What's behind that?
He came in, he was the number two under Jim Comey. And when Comey was abruptly fired by President Trump, McCabe became the acting director of the FBI and was made the target of, you know, President Trump's tweet storms and a variety of other attacks on him. And he made the decision as a career person at the FBI, who, by the way, is said to be a registered Republican, to step aside in the interest of the agency. And then President Trump nominated Christopher Wray, who was confirmed by the Senate, to be the head. So he's been on an administrative leave since then, and awaiting, you know, this whole case to run its course.
Generally, how did this go over with both Democrats and Republicans in Congress?
Well, I have to say that, there's very little that Republicans have been objecting to in the actions and behavior of President Trump. And there's been, you know, very much of a party line, you know, on that. I think you can say, to be fair, that some Democrats take their own party line. But I think there's a lot of serious analytic, you know, objective criticism. You know, we're over a year into the Trump administration. The country has an enormous amount of business at home and abroad. And so much of the president's time and the country's bandwidth is being taken up by all of the scandals and unpredictable actions that he takes. It's just not the way to run a country that has economic and security and a whole host of other challenges.
If you're just joining us, we're with Bruce Gentleson. He's a public policy and political science professor at Duke University, former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011. You can join this conversation about the Russia investigation, the ramifications, the latest firing. What do you make of the firing of former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe? Is Special Counsel Robert Mueller's ongoing investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia a witch hunt, as the president suggests, or do you think there's something there? 800-642-1234. You can send your question, your thoughts by email to ideas@wpr.org. Bruce, President Trump took to Twitter Friday to celebrate the firing, calling it a great day for democracy, and that Andrew McCabe knew all about the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI. What lies and corruption is the president talking about here?
Well, I can answer that in terms of what he claims to be talking about, which is not the same thing as saying that it's actually true. You know, McCabe was supervising, in fact, before the 2016 election, the investigations into Hillary Clinton's emails that continued. And indeed, amidst everything, people lose sight of the fact that, you know, within about 10 days before the election, Jim Comey went and said he was reopening this investigation, which many analysts think had an impact on the outcome. And so the president keeps trying to say that there really is no Russia issue, there's no collusion, there's no scandal, there's nothing about his business interests, there were no improper meetings that happened, and that the real issues somehow are issues involving the candidate who's no longer in public life, really, Hillary Clinton. And so he, as we know, he uses tweets all the time to try to you know, misdirect and deflect attention, and that's what he was doing in celebrating somebody who had given his service to the country for over 20 years of his career in the FBI and the Justice Department.
House Speaker Paul Ryan joined a number of key Republicans who warned President Trump not to interfere with the Mueller investigation. The president attacked the makeup of Mueller's team, arguing that it had a lot of Democrats but no Republicans. But the White House has said they have no plans to fire and are cooperating with the Robert Mueller investigation. We're talking about the developments on the morning show. Bruce Gentleson stays with us. He is a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. Getting your questions, your thoughts on the Russia probe at 800-642-1234. Do you think the special counsel needs additional protection from Congress in order to do this job, this probe? Do you think this is a witch hunt or a nothing burger? Call in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation on the other side of this news update right here on the Ideas Network. Representative Mark Pocan of Wisconsin is one of a number of Democratic lawmakers who offered former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe a job in the hours after he was fired so that he could receive his full benefits. We're exploring that thread and others as we comb through the latest on the Russia investigation. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Duke University professor Bruce Gentleson stays with us. His forthcoming book is The Peacemakers, Leadership Lessons from 20th Century Statesmanship. Getting your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Want to float this to you. Is there, in this Russia investigation, is there an elephant in the room? Or what I mean by that, is there a tendency for a groupthink on the Russia probe that no one wants to challenge? Give that some thought. Call in 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Bernie now, joining us from Elkhorn. Bernie, hi.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to mention Ray McGovern, who's a member of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And I heard a great interview with him yesterday. He's got a website, raymcgovern.com. And these gentlemen, Bill Binney is involved with him, who is very high-ranking in the NSA. There is tangible evidence that this email hack that is talked about was definitely a physical drive leak. That the evidence is there that it was not a hack. Problem is, these people that know what they're talking about, because they were in this business and they're honest people. They were standing up back when Bush the Second was concocting evidence about Iraq that wasn't so. Now they're standing up and saying this anti-Russian hysteria that's going on isn't so. Now, that isn't to say that Trump isn't corrupt, but it is to say that Russia did not interfere in any serious way, if at all, with our 2016 election.
Bernie, I'm going to stop you right there so Bruce can respond. Bruce, I know the phone connection there is pretty spotty. Can you make out what Bernie said?
Yeah, I think I did. And I think, Bernie, you know, I think what we're seeing now is a wide range of views. I don't know personally, but I know Ray McGovern from you know, being working in this field for a long time. I know a lot of other intelligence, former intelligence agents. I don't think anybody can come to the conclusion that he has in any definitive, fact-based, evidence-based way. The Mueller investigation has been very deliberate, extraordinarily few leaks by any standards, let alone Washington standards. And then you have people like the former CIA director, John Brennan, issuing a scathing remark, not just about Trump and Russia, but what's happening to our democracy, the notion that institutions like the FBI, which are far from perfect, are being maligned, and that journalists who you disagree with, you're calling for violence against them. And James Clapper, who was not a Democratic appointee, was the director of National Intelligence, has been very outspoken. So I kind of think that we're going to get a lot of views. Some of the people may want some FaceTime, as it were, But right now, the evidence we're seeing out there sure points to Russian efforts. Putin has even said they did it. They just didn't necessarily do it to favor one particular candidate. So there's not much doubt that they did it. What the connection is to the Trump campaign, I think, is still under investigation.
Let's hear a bit more from South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham during a Sunday appearance on CNN's State of the Union. Graham, let's just listen to what he had to say.
The only reason Mr. Mueller could ever be dismissed is for cause. I see no cause when it comes to Mr. Mueller. He needs to be able to do his job independent of any political influence. I pledge to the American people as a Republican to make sure that Mr. Mueller can continue to do his job without any interference. I think he's doing a good job.
So there's Lindsey Graham just being very clear as to how he feels about the Mueller probe. Any thoughts you can glean from that? And what if Mueller was dismissed?
I think it's a very important statement. You know, when Lindsey Graham was one of the Republican candidates running for the presidential nomination, he was pretty scathing about Donald Trump, more so than his attacks on his other candidates. Then for a while, a few months ago, he seemed to be becoming a golf buddy and was sort of taking the Trump point of view. And so now for him to say kind of enough is enough, that to interfere with the Mueller investigation, you know, it's a little bit like the role that Republicans like Howard Baker played during Watergate, where they put the interests of the country ahead of the party. And, you know, your Congressman Paul Ryan has some decisions to make as to whether or not, you know, he will allow the House and support legislation that simply provides, you know, a legal statutory basis for the special counsel that would insulate him from being fired by the president. So there are a lot of choices that Republicans need to make now, and a lot of it, you know, politics is politics, but there are some core interests for us as a democracy that are at stake here.
Let's go to Daryl in Germantown. Hi, Daryl.
Yeah, good morning. I would just like to voice my opinion. I think that President Trump should really spend the time not tweeting, but taking care of presidential issues. And there's so much that the country needs to be dealt with. I think he should step up and do his job as a president and stay out of the Mueller investigation entirely. Let Robert Mueller do his job, what he was appointed for. And if there is something that comes out of it, then we can find out the truth about this and put it to rest.
Daryl, thanks for calling in. Bruce, how close are we in learning the next step in the Mueller investigation, or what is the next step?
Yeah, I think Daryl makes a really good point. You know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are hardworking people that work their jobs, not just the standard 8 hours, but probably 10, 12 hours a day. And the job of the president is a very demanding job on anybody. Both President Bush has worked extremely hard, President Clinton, President Obama. And the notion that President Trump is spending so much time on this sort of stuff, there's a job to be done there. And I think that a lot of Americans are seeing it that way, separate from their partisanship. The investigation will probably continue. You know, these things take a long time, and there seem to be different layers that the more they investigate that they want to look at. There's been these, secret meetings with payoffs in, you know, distant islands in the, I think it was the Seychelles Islands off the coast of Africa. Mm-hmm. There is the Trump business relationship, the Trump organization with the Russians going back a number of years. So I don't see it ending soon. I think Mueller continues to, you know, issue his indictments as he feels he has the evidence. It's conceivable there could be some giant breakthrough at some point that speeds it up. But I think it's the proper role of prosecutors. We all know cases that we think take a long time, sometimes too long, that are simpler than this. And the predictions that the president's lawyers made, it's going to be over by Thanksgiving, by Christmas, that was just trying to do spin.
Well, Americans don't have a long attention span, Bruce. They don't like these circuitous, development storylines on this Russia probe. They want something definitive. They want it yesterday. So that doesn't really align with how Americans function, it seems.
Well, I think what happens on this, you're right. I know it's series that are 10 parts on television do worse than series that are 3 or 4 parts. I think what's happening here, though, is every couple days, week, there's another spurt of major information that hits, and so it almost keeps it in the news. In some respects, too much, because there's a lot else going on in the country, but. It's not something that Americans have to pay attention to every day at their dinner table or when they get up and, read the newspaper. They will pay attention at crucial moments when decisions need to be made, which is the way I think the Mueller investigation has been proceeding. This is not a public-driven kind of thing. It really is something that has to be done consistent with the rule of law and the proper practice of democracy.
Let's go to Pete now in Slinger. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. I would like to say that I do believe that this is just a witch hunt, and it's been going on for over a year, and it doesn't seem like they've found anything, except for maybe that Barack and Hillary were more corrupt with the fake dossier and all that kind of stuff that's going on. And I think the American people are just tired of it. The bashing the president nonstop, it just gets old, and we're tired of it. That's all I had to say.
Pete, thanks for the call. This is getting old, Bruce, this bashing of the Trump presidency.
Well, the polls, I respect Pete's point of view, and there are people that feel that way. The polls show, over 60% of the people believe there's something there. So I don't think his view is even close to a majority view of the American public or can characterize the American public. And bashing usually is when, you're hitting somebody for no reason or without a basis. And, if you really, in an honest, serious way, look at, the kinds of information and facts that are coming out, it's hard not to believe that the trail is worth continuing to follow. I mean, there are all sorts of things we're learning that should be shocking to Americans, that the Russians, have tried, interfered with, not just tried to do so in our election, that there's questionable financial relationships, that there were meetings that were lied about. I don't see that as bashing. I know we have different political views here. And I think, as I said, over 60% of the American people believe that the investigation is being conducted properly and needs to continue to the point where it either has, indictments to issue or determines that the evidence is not adequate.
Let's explore where House Speaker Paul Ryan is on the Russia investigation. We've been hearing some GOP lawmakers calling Congress to pass legislation to protect the probe. A spokesperson for Ryan said Mr. Mueller and his team should be able to do their job, but she did not comment directly on whether Congress should advance legislation to protect Mueller. Is this something we could actually get Congress to take up in the coming weeks, legislation to protect this probe?
Well, the Speaker of the House has enormous power. If he were just another representative of the 435, it might be adequate to say, make a press statement like the one that you quoted. But he, more than any other member of the House of Representatives, he is in a position and has the power to make that legislation happen. So for me, at least, the people of Wisconsin and his district should judge it on that basis. Does he use the power he has to back up those statements, or is he kind of trying to have it both ways, say one thing but not really do anything about it?
Let's go to Zahi in Madison. Hi, Zahi.
Good morning. I have two quick questions. If I heard the radio right, Mueller, Comey, McCabe, and Rosenstein are registered Republicans. So how does that affect what we're hearing from politicians on both sides of the aisle? And my number two question is, irrespective of ideologies, is the president effectively working his base with his rhetoric as opposed to, how we look at that from our personal perspective?
Zahi, thanks so much for the questions. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, on the first one, for people that are public officials, many of them don't vote in national elections. They may vote in their local elections. Their political registration does not really determine the way they act in office. People take an oath of an office to uphold the Constitution. And sure, there's a case here or there where people, you know, don't do that. But the vast majority, I've served in the State Department twice. I've, you know, I've worked in the United States Senate, actually for Republican and Democratic senators. And you get a lot of respect for people that doesn't come from what their party identity is. And so this notion that McCabe's wife ran for the state Senate as a Democrat and therefore he is out to get Trump. I mean, you know, we really have to respect these people, just like we do our soldiers. They go and fight wars for America's security for a Republican or a Democratic president, and they do their job. So I don't think that that's really determinative of that. On the base, you know, they're, you know, these polls show 30-some-odd percent holding steady, but, you know, it's not, President Trump has rallies like the one he had a couple weeks ago, but, you know, some of these elections that are happening where the Democrat won in western Pennsylvania, in a district that's a lot like much of Wisconsin, where Trump had won by 20%. So there's going to be a base, but it's not growing. And if anything, it seems to be shrinking a little bit, not a huge amount. And, you know, if it's 30-some-odd percent, that leaves 60-some-odd percent of the country feeling differently.
Let's go to John now in Somerset. John, go ahead. Hi.
Hi. I just want to say that this investigation by Mueller is just based on a false dossier that Hillary paid for by the DNC, and that it's already been cleared by the Republican Party that there was no collusion. The only collusion was on the other side where Hillary paid for that uranium, and Mueller was part of it.
Todd, John, thanks so much there. Bruce, your thoughts here as we start to head into a break.
Sure, I'll be quick. You know, John, that's just not true. I mean, the investigation started before the dossier. Christopher Steele was a career person in the British Secret Service, not someone with a political agenda. And all these other accusations, you know, haven't been proven, and they pale in comparison to things that relate to the person who is currently the President of the United States and has the fate of all of us in his hands.
So what about the House Intelligence Committee here? It's not just Mueller looking into these ties to Russia. Where does the House Intelligence Committee stand? Because they were split on whether to end their investigation or not.
Yeah, and the report they issued has been torn to pieces. The only reason that we, you know, to say that there's no proof of collusion yet is to say that Mueller hasn't finished his investigation. And for the person who might have committed the collusion to say, I didn't, you know, is like somebody who's on trial for robbery or murder to say, believe me, I really didn't do it. You know, that's why we have a judicial process. And, you know, you go back to Watergate and you see Republicans like, you know, conservative ones like Senator John Tower from Texas and Howard Baker from Tennessee, who put country over party and followed the investigation where it needed to go. And when Republicans line up like they did in the House Intelligence Committee, you know, it's all party over country. And the oath is to the Constitution, not to the head of your party.
Probing this hour as we discuss the Mueller investigation with Bruce Gentleson. He's a public policy and political science professor at Duke University. Gathering your thoughts, your questions here on The Morning Show at 800-642-1234. Do you think Special Counsel Robert Mueller needs special protections from Congress to carry out this Russia probe fully? What do you see are the ramifications on this investigation? Where do you see it impacting the GOP and the midterm elections? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. special counsel Robert Mueller is generally viewed in Washington as an apolitical prosecutor whose investigation of the Trump campaign is supported by Democrats and some key Republicans, some of whom voiced their support on the Sunday talk shows for his handling of the Russia probe. Do you see Mueller as an apolitical force? How do you see the Russia probe playing out? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Duke University Professor Bruce Gentleson is our guide this hour. He's a professor in public policy and political science, former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011. Let's go back to the phones with Todd joining us from Janesville. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Just one comment and a question for our guest. I guess I support the investigation on an observation that it appears we're losing lifelong Justice Department officials, while the Goldman Sachs appointees all seem to be remaining in place where they were put. I was curious what our guest comment might be on, if I remember correctly, Trey Gowdy was sitting in on some of the dossier hearings, and in the middle of those, he resigned, I believe, from the chair of the Ethics Committee. And he's made some recent interesting comments. So I'd like to hear your guest's take on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, Todd, I think that's a good point. Trey Gowdy had been chair of the committee that did the Benghazi investigations about the tragedies in Libya while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. He kind of varied a bit from the party line, a little bit at least, and then kept coming back during the House Intelligence Committee. I don't really know why he resigned his seat, to be honest with you. And I haven't seen any press reports that there's a particular story there. There are a lot of Republicans, enormous number of Republican members of the House, who are not running for re-election. Some of them, it's natural retirement. Some of them, there've been quite a few scandals. And some of them, I think, really don't want to try to counter the anti-Trump wave or even the, more extreme candidates within their own party they have to face in primary. So I can't really give you more details on that. Apologize.
Todd, thanks for the call. Let's look at Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan, who says he's willing to hire Andrew McCabe to ensure he gets his federal benefits. Pocan was on Wisconsin Public Radio yesterday. He says his office originally tweeted what he calls kind of a snarky comment. Then they realized it was really an opportunity to hire this former FBI official. Let's take a listen.
We, do a lot of work around election integrity. I have several bills in Congress around that, very nonpartisan of nature. We'd love to have him work on that for as much time as we need to, but also to make sure that someone who's served the public for that long gets the retirement due, and that Donald Trump can't, continue to threaten people like he does.
So Congressman Pocan there saying it's not a political stunt. It's actually a legitimate job offer. What do you think, Bruce?
Yeah, I think anybody would be fortunate to have somebody with the talent of Andrew McCabe working for them in the areas that he's developed expertise over 20 years. And so it really makes a lot of sense. And it's just a stand-up move, too, for, person to person. The guy's worked really hard. He's given his life to serving the country. And anybody that rose as high as he did in the FBI had to be a very talented and capable and committed person. So I really think there's a human element here that my hand goes out to the congressman for thinking about it in those terms.
Well, there's also this flipping back and forth by the White House administration itself. We've heard on Sunday White House Attorney Ty Cobb issuing a statement saying the White House yet again confirms that the president is not considering or discussing the firing of the special counsel Robert Mueller. But we heard then Saturday a bit of the reverse of that. And then Trump's tweets on top of that, naming Mueller and speculating that perhaps a firing was around the corner. So what do you make of these two divergent threads?
Trump has consistently said, you know, I totally support somebody and then fired them. He did that with Secretary of State Tillerson. You know, it happens in other areas. You hear that in sports, too. We have 100% confidence in the coach, and he's gone. But I don't put any credence in that. I think he seems to be moving towards, possibly, he seems to be moving in the direction of firing Mueller. He just added to his lawyer's team another guy whose main claim to fame is that he's a talking head on TV and buys into all the anti-Trump conspiracy theories. His new principal economic advisor is the talking head on TV from CNBC, who's been wrong about as much as anybody else on economic predictions and ideas for the last 20 years. So we're really getting a reality TV team there. But he keeps changing his lawyers, as if the problem is with the lawyers. There's a rumor that he's going to, you know, fire Ty Cobb now. And, you know, the problem may not be the lawyers. It may be with the case they're being asked to make.
Let's go to John joining us with a question in Belgium. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Bruce. Just wondering, why is it that no one's investigating the $145 million that went to the Clinton Foundation while 20% of our uranium reserves went to the Russians? And why is it we don't investigate those things in these special counsels? Why don't we follow the money? Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we looking at these things?
John, thank you for the call. Why are we not following the money, Bruce?
Yeah, we actually are following the money in the Trump case. John, the reason that there's not being investigated is neither of those things has held up to any scrutiny beyond, you know, some wild conservative, extremist, radical websites. We have not given up 20% of our uranium reserve. The Clinton Foundation figures are totally erroneous. So a pretty straightforward answer. It's just things being spread that one might actually call fake news.
Well, Mason emailed and is asking, what is the current thinking on how the Russians hacked the American election? It seems from what Mason's heard that it was rather the American electorate that was hacked. And Mason says, I'm somewhat ashamed to say that it seems many of my fellow Americans were far more credulous than anyone has a right to be and still claim to be an active participant in democracy.
It's a really good way of putting it, because I think, you know, there has not yet been evidence to my knowledge that, let's say, the machines were tampered with on Election Day. There was some sense, for example, I live in Durham, North Carolina, and a heavily Democratic area, and they had some problems with the machines that day that caused long lines. Some people wonder whether that was being hacked to try to, you know, disincentivize some people from voting. But you're right, the American public, you know, nobody can totally make anyone think something. The kind of information that was thrown out there that appears to have footprints back to the Russians, you know, that there was this, you know, child prostitution ring in a pizza parlor in Washington, all this really crazy stuff. It is an interesting question to ask, why would people believe that? To be honest, it does show that people were not, you know, that happy with the status quo. They had doubts about Hillary Clinton, and they bought into this. But there's some big questions that your caller raises there about, if we are so susceptible to what seems like crazy manipulation, you know, what can we do about that as a country and having a better conversation with each other?
Brian on Facebook says, the more President Trump protests, the more I am sure he is part of it. He says, President Nixon was not caught up in a day. So Brian there reaching back to Watergate.
Right. Watergate was really first discovered in June 1972, and it's over 2 years later that President Nixon was forced to resign. So that's a useful time frame to have. The Mueller investigation is not quite a year old, so it's a helpful time frame for some of the points that other callers raised about this dragging on, and it's a good perspective.
Bruce, what are you watching for here as the Mueller probe unfolds?
I think the crucial thing will be, does he push to talk directly to President Trump, to interview President Trump? And if that push is coming, does Trump try to fire him? The crucial person in the firing right now would be the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, because the president can't fire him directly. He can order the Deputy Attorney General to, and then fire the Deputy Attorney General and keep bringing people in. You know, I would say we're moving towards that possibility, and I think the reason the president's thinking of firing Mueller is because the heat is going up, and he knows, I think, where this investigation may be going. So I'd keep an eye on that, and so many stories break, and each one is sort of a piece of a giant jigsaw puzzle, and it's not quite clear where they all fit, but we keep getting more pieces being shown to us.
And the practicality of that, if President Trump would be interviewed by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, who would be in the room?
I would assume, Kate, that his lawyer would be in the room. And I don't know if anybody else, you know, a note taker or recording, whether it would be Mueller himself or Mueller's deputies, would be for Mueller to determine himself. You know, the other thing is, with my policy hat on, is you worry a lot. I worry a lot about efforts to, you know, have a foreign policy issue that might deflect attention that could be very dangerous for the country, whether it's North Korea or Iran, both of which are problems and threats. But, you know, there could be an attempt to, as they say, wag the dog and ratchet those up as a way of deflecting. And with my foreign policy hat on, I worry about that a lot.
And when you say deflecting, you mean derailing the investigation? How so?
Not so much to derail the investigation, but deflecting attention and creating a potential rally around the flag effect. You know, we got to stick by our president because we're now in a war or a major crisis, and trying to deflect in that way. Mueller would keep doing what he's doing, but it would be an effort to grab the bandwidth of the media, and also to give people a sense of, you know, the whole, we're all Americans, we've got to stick together, we've got some enemies out there. And we do have enemies, but right now I think, you know, neither of those situations has to be escalated or lead to war. And some of the people that they're talking about, President Trump bringing in as Secretary of State and a new National Security Advisor, are, you know, scarily hawkish on those issues.
Bruce, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Bruce Gentleson is professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina, Nyasia Ellison, and Keely Baltina. Michael Deringer provided technical direction. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.